And our co-presenters are Susanna Blackman and Hamish Nia. Is that correct? Susanna is a CPA and tax partner with Blazek and Vetterling in Houston. She has decades of tax experience as a consultant for annual tax returns, unrelated business income tax, and tax issues, other tax issues facing nonprofits. And Hamish is an associate attorney with the law firm of Pfizer, Beck, Webster, Bentley, and Scroggins, where he enjoys a really diverse corporate practice, which also includes advising nonprofits on a wide array of legal issues. So please welcome our speakers, Susanna Blackman and Hamish Nia.
Thank you for having us here today. Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'm Susanna. Let's go back to that. I don't know if you can see there, but it lists some of my favorite hobbies. I do these things a lot, so if you want to ask me about those later, you're welcome to. And this is Hamish here.
Yeah, I apparently don't have hobbies. I didn't know that I should include stuff like that on the slide, but I arrived probably 10 minutes ago, too, so I'm a little out of breath. And I apologize if we go over ground that you've already covered numerous times in other presentations, but we'll try to do our best to be informative.
Yes. So we're going to talk, as was mentioned, if now that you've got your exemption, let's assume you've gotten your exemption, how to stay exempt, how to not run afoul of the rules. We're going to talk about some of the most basic things that you have to do to maintain your exemption, and we're going to have a little bit of focus on which of those things apply to public charities, which of those things apply to private foundations. Nick just went over that distinction, and that was very helpful. And then we might mention a few other things, time permitting. There are some things that are very important for every organization to do, even if they might not get your exemption revoked. There's still things that everybody needs to know. So let's start.
And obviously, it's a very broad topic, so it's not meant to cover everything in great detail, but we're hopefully going to do kind of a survey of useful ground. So
yes.
A caveat.
Okay, who in here is an attorney? Raise your hand, please. Okay, who is an accountant? Who is an accountant that works for a nonprofit, not in private practice? Okay, got it. Okay. I just want to make sure I know who my audience is and what parts we need to hit the most. So the fastest way to get your organization revoked is basically through these topics right here. Like Hamish said, we can't cover everything that would get you revoked, but we're going to talk about filing your annual returns. We're going to talk about the operational test that Nick and Neely mentioned. Nick and Neely, that has a good ring to it. We're going to talk about unrelated business taxable income, how much is too much, when is it okay, when is it not okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about political activity, and then the private inurement and private benefit, especially as it concerns compensation, because that is a big issue for a lot of organizations. So the fastest, maybe not the fastest, but the easiest way to get your exemption revoked is by not filing your annual tax returns. So regardless of what your organization is required to file, you have to file something. If you don't file for 3 years in a row, you get a lovely letter in the mail from the IRS saying your exemption has been revoked. And depending on the thresholds, all of these forms have different thresholds for what you're required to file. If you're a large organization, you file a regular 990. I should say if you're a large public charity, you file a regular 990. If you're a private foundation, you file a 990 PF. If you're a really small organization, your average annual gross receipts are less than $50,000, averaging over 3 years, you file a 990N. If you're a mid-size organization, if your gross receipts are less than $200,000, your assets are less than $500,000, you can file a 990 easy. That's like a diet 990, like the 990 light. It's much easier to fill out, much less information on that. But the point is that you have to file something or else you are going to get revoked. And I would have said, before this past month, I would have said file something, file anything if you think you're about to get revoked, and then amend it as soon as you can. But we recently came across a revocation letter where someone filed a 990N, and the IRS said, I don't care that you're filing 990Ns. You didn't.